Hey, buddy, I'm not paying you to hear your thoughts on life.
Well, I have a microphone, and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Welcome to Season 3 of the Raise Your Game Show, a podcast that unpacks and dissects the strategies and principles of high performance in sports and business. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. In this season, I lean on several of the most innovative and impactful leaders I know to garner their wisdom on how to effectively lead during times of adversity, how to remain poised during a crisis, and how to look for and capitalize on new opportunities. While these Zoom recordings took place during the height of the coronavirus pandemic, the tips, strategies, and principles shared are timeless and can be applied to any future challenge. They also have very high utility. The wisdom dropped can and should be applied to any line of work, in any industry, in any organization. For additional resources on improving performance, leadership, and culture, please check out allensteinjr.com/free. Follow me at Alan Stein Jr. on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and opt in to receive my full timeout, 30-second timeout, and overtime monthly emails. Today, I chop it up with Chris Dungworth, a managing partner with Roe Morrison & Associates Speaking Bureau. Chris, during a time like this, you know, I would say that the list of negatives of this pandemic are pretty obvious. I mean, you've got folks that have been deeply affected by losing loved ones or being sick. You have folks that are going out of business or going bankrupt and people losing jobs and being furloughed. But I've always been a big believer that even in a time of crisis, there are some silver linings and there are some positives, as odd as that may sound. And I'd like to know which of those you've noticed and what are some of the things that we should be embracing about this very unique time.
I think in any market, right, there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. So who do you want to be? And I think it really starts with your, what can you control? I cannot control certain external factors. I cannot control when markets are going to get better, when people are going to go back to work, when people can really, frankly, just go out of their house. So what can I control on a daily basis that's going to be most impactful for me? And I think really that, I guess the mantra that I've gone with is, what can I do for my body? What can I do in terms of how I eat, how I work out? What does my day look like? And I really started with that. And once I have that in place, I think that impacts the business side of what I do day in and day out. I will also say, I don't think this is the time to be selling, right? I think about any audience, but especially my audience, if I'm working with financial advisors, with broker dealers, with distribution company, nobody wants to hear from me and me try to sell something. But now absolutely is the time, I believe, where you should be marketing, where you should be trying to add value. How can you help solve your client problems? Nobody needs more emails. Nobody needs more phone calls. There's so much noise going on right now. How do you try to separate yourself? So that may be a little bit of a long answer.
No, I love long answers, but it's incredibly filled with insight. So what are some of those things that you've done to try to cut through the noise and reach out and add value, you know, to your most, your longest running clients and so forth?
So I would say for us, we have very two specific kind of clients, but I would say that the distribution clients, your annuity manufacturers, your asset managers. So the mantra that we've really taken for them is, how can we partner with certain speakers, different skill sets, and actually do complementary wholesaler training, right? So we want to come in and say, how can we help you guys, right? It could be something as simple as, let me bring in an expert who can really teach you how to deliver a great webinar. And I realize there's a lot out there, right, on LinkedIn, and people got 7 steps and 10 steps. I get all of that. I like that as part one. I think part two is, you know, and it's something I struggle with. Right now, for example, should I be looking at my camera or should I be looking at you, right? If I'm looking at you, it's kind of weird from your perspective, but most people are looking at the screen instead of looking at that. So really that, you know, and again, that can kind of come in all shapes and sizes, from, you know, health and wellness to crisis communication to even client acquisition, but it's really working with them and what can we deliver? Everybody's at home, so people do have more time. So again, that goes back to, it really goes back to marketing, right? We're sincere about this, but our goal at the same time is to build new relationships. So when things get back to normal, they're going to want to be able to partner from that standpoint. So that's one thing that I think has been quite successful.
I love that. And I know one of the main reasons you and I have always got along so well is you're such a relationship guy and so relationship driven. And I love that you're proactively reaching out to try to add value and support those that you've always worked with. You just mentioned a concept that I think a lot of us are talking about, which is when things go back to normal. And of course, I made that in air quotes because none of us really know, first of all, when that's going to happen, or quite honestly, what a new normal is going to look like. Because I would imagine some things are never going to go back to the way they were pre-coronavirus. What are your thoughts on that? And what do you see kind of the new normal looking like in the businesses that you work most closely with?
So let me start with conferences. Personally, I think conferences could take over a year to get back to some semblance of what we're used to. People are booking for the fall, but the perspective I've come on is this, right? So right now, we're all gaining new skill sets working from home. And candidly, I think a lot of people are enjoying these skill sets, right? You can do client conversations 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Everybody's getting better every day at the technology, and we're seeing the benefits. It may never be 100% to face-to-face, but it may be 80%, it may be 90%. For example, you may have some clients that say, you know what, I actually prefer this. Well, you better listen to your client, right? So I say all of that in the sense of, we come to the fall, we've got some conferences. The first question you've got to answer is, okay, you want me to come on a plane and attend this conference, why? What are you going to give me? What are you going to deliver to me that is going to be so valuable at a face-to-face where I'm surrounded by people, I'm putting myself at risk, that I can't get in my office, I can't get at home? So an example, and not to pick on any particular kind of distribution, but my background is annuities, right? Uh-huh. So I don't need to leave my office to get annuity training from a particular company. I really don't need to go to a conference to attend a breakout session to hear that. So I think there's going to be more value in terms of speakers like yourself, speakers on practice management, because that you can't necessarily get anywhere, right? And again, I go back to myself a little bit. If somebody wants me to get on a plane right now, it's not about me, right? My wife's a diabetic, so she's a little higher risk. Yep. My parents live on the same property. They're mid-70s. They're much higher risk.
Yeah.
So I have to be thinking first and foremost about that. So we kind of bring this back to sports a lot, right? Do I think we're going to have NFL, college football, some of these things in the fall? Maybe. But again, I don't know if we're going to have crowds there, right? So what is the difference between that and a conference that says has 1,000 people, 5,000 people? For some of these 10,000 people, there's still the same kind of risk. So maybe it's because I work from home, I have a little bit more of a hermit perspective, good and bad, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure people are going to be starved to get back to large conferences mingling. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure they're going to get back and say hi and stuff, but I think they're more likely going to want to spend time with friends and family first and foremost.
Absolutely.
So yeah,
I like that. And then work its way out. It's funny that you mentioned that because, 44 years old, I guess there's not too many more parallels that I have with professional athletes now, but as they keep talking about the possibility of them playing without fans, that's a completely different playing experience. And I have high empathy for them because as I've done some virtual work for some companies now, it's very different for me to give a keynote looking at a camera in an empty room than it is when I've actually got energy in the room and people's heads nodding. I mean, some of these virtual experiences, I'm really enjoying them, but it's been a learning curve for me. So yeah, that will be very interesting. And I very much agree with your insight that it's going to take a while for things to slowly resume to a comfort level where people want to do these things. I mean, especially if we're spending all of this time being taught how important the social distancing is at the snap of a finger for everyone to mingle at a 5,000 person conference doesn't sound realistic. I
mean, no, there's got to be real value, right? There's got to be immediately actionable deliverables, takeaways. People always have talked about that, right? But I think it's now going to get demanded more so by the audience.
Yeah. And another thing I found interesting, you know, over the last several years where as a culture, we've kind of gotten away from network television where you have to be on your couch at 8 p.m. to watch your favorite show, because now you can watch everything on demand and you can watch it when you want as opposed to when the network wants. And that's another thing I find fascinating. Instead of being told, hey, you have to be at this conference at this location in order to get this training, you can kind of watch it whenever you want at your discretion, and you can chunk it down or do whatever you need when things are done virtually. So, you know, I love the way that you're approaching, again, the silver linings in this and saying, okay, what are some things that we should be embracing about potentially this new model? That's fantastic. You had mentioned in the beginning some of the personal pivots that you've made from a health standpoint. You said you focused a little more on eating well and making sure you're moving and so forth. Talk to me about your mindset, because I know I don't know you on a super deep level, but you strike me as an optimistic, positive, high energy type guy. But shall I assume there have been some times where you felt a little down in the dumps during this, where you felt a little anxious or worried and so forth? And if so, what are some of the things you've done to overcome that?
You know, it's interesting because I work from home and because I'm fortunate in so many ways, I really am in that very small minority that my daily life really hasn't changed that much. I mean, the biggest change for me has really been my wife working from home. And so obviously we have conversations about things that's going on. Feel very fortunate that, you know, that she's got her job and so forth. And it's kind of funny because I think she's actually busier than ever from that side. But I think with that, right, whenever you watch the news, there's nothing positive that I've seen on my 6 p.m. news. And that's something we've kind of added to our daily, whereas in the past, it didn't quite fit. So, you know, I think we've gotten to a point where we're not even looking out a month at a time. We're not even looking out a week at a time, maybe. We're really looking out at today and tomorrow, right? And it's all about what we can control. And I think before, my wife had a 25-mile commute one each way. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that now, and that's put a good hour and a half back in her day, and that's allowed us to kind of work out together, which we now do in the evenings and so forth. So there's been pieces like that have been great. So I may not have answered the question
I think you did. It's funny. That's where, again, I think you and I have so many similarities, because, you know, the two things that I've done to help me get out of a funk, and I've had a couple of very short-term funks during this. One you mentioned earlier is just to try to be of service to others. You know, take the spotlight off of yourself and try to give and serve and support other people instead of having your own little pity party. And then the other, which I absolutely love and have preached most of my life, is just focus on the present. You know, we can all get incredibly anxious and worried if we keep looking at the future. But if we focus on the here and now and we just focus on today, things don't seem so bad. So, no, that's incredibly helpful. I know a good portion of your work is with folks in the financial world, and clearly the economy at present and the financial world is struggling. What are some of the things that you're doing to lend support to them in their own businesses? You know, because I would imagine they're often kind of down in the dumps and in a funk, maybe more often than guys like you and I are.
So when I think about my business, the end client for me is always the financial advisor.
Yeah.
So I work backwards from how is the financial advisor having conversations with their clients, right? So whether I'm working with an asset manager that wants to work with us to bring in a speaker for financial advisors. So we've had a heavy focus, I would say, on a couple of subjects. Subject number one is crisis communication training. So what I mean by that is how should you be having a conversation with your clients? And it really is kind of going from defense to offense. But what most people don't understand about crisis communication training, so much of it is about listening. And so one of the examples that we use is, you know, your client may want to just vent. But so often, right, especially so often as males, we want to jump to a solution and we're not listening, right? So how often has my wife just wanted to vent on something and I'm just charging in there with the solution and she gets annoyed and frustrated because she just wanted me to listen. She doesn't want me to do anything. She just wants me to listen. So we have with a particular speaker, we literally have a crisis communication formula that when followed is fantastic because it really comes with, you know, listening. It comes with understanding, and then it does come with solutions, and it's a step-by-step process. So that's kind of one in terms of just communication where we're really trying to help advisors, right? Because again, we always forget we're all people first, right? So if you've got, and when it comes to money, we're very emotional. So if the market's down and your portfolio is down, especially if you're close to retirement, it can be an unnerving time. So how do we help advisors do a better job with that, right? That then leads to opportunities because if you're not being proactive, if you're not reaching out, somebody else may be. If you're reaching out and doing a great job with your clients, you don't need to sell your services to maybe their friends, but their friends are going to talk, right? So there's a way to position from that standpoint that's considered, that I would say is appropriate. So we've taken a very proactive approach working with our clients. And again, it's all about, right? This is a service industry. We are here to serve. So that's one side. I think the other side is this idea around, you know, we've talked a little bit about stress management. And I think one of the things that we've done, whether it's stress management, whether, you know, again, going into sleeping, whether, you know, stress management and your immune system, as you know this better than me, is tied together.
Yeah.
So in the past, all of our work that we've really, well, 99% of the work that we've ever done is, you know, as I said earlier, it's financial advisors. Yeah. Well, we're starting to talk to clients and saying, hey, how about we do some webinars where you bring your spouses on, where maybe you even do it with your clients. So I had a conversation the other day where it's probably going to be thousands of agents, but also their clients. And we're talking about LTC as an example. I've got a really cool presentation coming up with a very good client of mine where they wanted to work with a lady who does it's about working with kids. So, right. Yeah. Because if parents have got kids at home, right. So you may have two parents that are working. They've got kids at home. Maybe the kids are a bit younger. How do you handle all of that? Right.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Maybe it was fun at first. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know because I don't have kids. So it's hard for me to relate a little bit, but we were talking the other day, right. We're 30 plus days in. Okay. Fun's worn off. How do we make sure that we properly communicate and set the kids up for success, but also allow mommy and daddy to work, right? So there's a presentation that is so designed, not just for the advisor, but for the spouses. If you're an asset manager, you want to talk about adding value, right? Like I think about myself. It's hard for you to impress me, right? You're going to send me something and you give me something. Great. Now, if you can connect with my wife and you send something that she loves, you've got me for life, right?
Absolutely.
So I think about things like that. And that's what's kind of cool. In terms of, again, standing out in the sea of webinars and so forth, how do you differentiate yourself? So that's kind of things we kick around with clients. And I really enjoy those conversations because it's a bit outside of the box. It's a bit more fun. And we're solving a very different problem, if you will.
Yeah. But I mean, man, you just dropped so much gold there, but I love that you're, you're solving the most important problem first, the foundation, which is kind of the human element, the family dynamic, the self-care, the stress management. That has to be done first before you could even consider worrying about anything else. And then I really loved your piece on how important it is to listen. And that even sometimes the best value you can give someone in serving them is just calling them up, asking how they're doing, and then just being quiet and just being an ear for them to do whatever they need to do. Maybe they need to cry. Maybe they need to vent. Maybe they need a good laugh. But whatever it is, just let them get it out. And I think that's so valuable in this time of social distancing, where we don't have to necessarily emotionally distance. We can still let those that we care about know, hey, I'm here for you. I know it's virtual, but I am here for you. And that's incredibly powerful. Well, man, this was phenomenal. And I can't thank you enough. You dropped so much wisdom. Any parting words or parting thoughts that you'd like to share before we say a virtual goodbye?
You know, so with what you just said, one of the things that we were actually training people on, and this is the most simplistic thing you could ever imagine, right? So in this time, people are busy. People are, you know, maybe a little thin in terms of time and stress and what have you, right? So even with your clients, you can fall out of touch with. So one of the things we did, simplest thing ever, right, is an email or a text, and it's just titled, "Are you okay?" question mark. And then we literally put one sentence in there, you know, about just checking in. And the reason that works is simply human psychology, right? You've got to be genuine about this, right? If somebody comes back and says, hey, I'm really not okay, you've got to be willing to help with them. So this shouldn't be done as a sales tool, right? But it works because good people don't intentionally blow you off, right? There are things that you know, we all make assumptions. Oh, they're not responding to me. They must hate me. Blah, 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 blah. No, right? It can snowball. So we've had so much, we've done so many of these webinars around crisis communication, and we've trained this on this most simple, are you okay? We have literally had people we have them do this on the calls that we're on, and they send it to three clients that haven't been responsive. We have literally gotten success stories while we're on the call. Because again, you know, placate to the 90%, right? Which is the good people. Ignore that 10%. So I think that's something that I've really learned quite a bit over the past 30 days.
Well, you know what I love about that is, I mean, we know how important it is to care. I mean, caring matters in any business. And when you reach out with that, with such altruistic intentions to see how people are doing, you're showing them that you care. But even more importantly, what I believe good leaders do, and you're one of the best that I know of, is you always go to where the other person is emotionally. You don't make them come to you. So if you've got 10 clients that you're trying to serve, if you try to be happy and upbeat and Mr. Motivational to all 10, that's going to miss the mark for a few of them. And when you reach out and you take their temperature by asking how they're doing, now you can customize that. So if two of your clients reach out and say, look, I'm really, really struggling now. I'm down in the dumps. You can customize your message and your relationship with them much differently than if someone writes you back and says, Chris, man, I'm doing well. I'm in good spirits. I'm in good health. Everything. So now you've got two very different messages to go out instead of this one size fits all. And I know
so
you know how important it is to customize messages for your people.
So let's go back to what we just talked about very, very quickly, right? In terms of why listening is so powerful, right? If you're just hearing somebody, you're already crafting what you want to say regardless of what you say, right? So let's say you're that client and you're a bit down in the dumps and you're telling me you're down and I'm like, hey, it's the best day ever. That's awkward, right? Because I didn't even listen to you. I was crafting about how great it is for me.
Yes.
And I think it's really important right now to be very careful about answering certain questions when you don't know the temperature of your client. To what you just said, you really need to match where they're out. You need to be able to empathize and so forth. Otherwise, the whole conversation is now off kilter, and anything else you say from now on is irrelevant. So absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know what I love about that? And you know, here I was, I thought we were going to say goodbye, and now we're digging into all this gold. You know, it's I've really tried to raise my level of transparency, because most people know me as being very high energy, very optimistic, very positive. And sometimes if I'm speaking to someone who's not feeling that way, it can actually make them feel worse, because now they're playing a comparison game and they're going, man, what's wrong with me? Because Alan just seems to be fine during all this. So I've really tried to be transparent and say, look, yes, overall, I've got a good mindset and I am optimistic, but you better believe I've had my moments of despair. I've had my moments of anxiety. I've had my moments of panic. I've had my moments of being down in the dumps. But here's something that have helped me get out of this. Maybe they'll help you too. And I find that that's been a great connection tool, because, you know, if you're on social media and you're looking at everyone being super positive about things and you're not feeling that way, it can make you feel worse, because then you feel like you're alone or that something's wrong with you. And clearly that's not the case during a crisis.
Absolutely.
Like this, I mean, everybody's going to process this differently and at a different pace. And there is no right answer.
I couldn't agree more. Right. I mean, it, you know, again, it really is. It goes back to one day at a time, control your activity, control your energy. You know, I go back to this. I'd still rather be where we're all right now. We're all going to get through this. Right. And just don't let yourself go. Right. Where do you want to be? Who do you want to be, right? What is one thing you can learn business-wise? What is one thing you can learn fun-wise? And what can you do for your health? So when we come out of this, right, you're ready to go, right? You don't want to suddenly get back to quote-unquote normal, and you need a 60-day ramp-up, right? You need to be doing that now, whether it's your business and marketing, whether it's your personal self. Don't let this kind of overwhelm you from that standpoint. I truly believe that. So I've got my personal goals that I try to write down, the weekly goals and what is my daily activity that I need to get them. And again, I keep them simple. I'm not trying to overwhelm myself with them, right? Because then I won't get to them. So I do think a little bit less is more in this environment.
Man, what a beautiful summary. Well, thank you so much for your time, for all of your wisdom, and really applaud and appreciate both your friendship and your leadership. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that's it for us. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. For more killer free content, make sure you check out allensteinjr.com/free. Join me at allensteinjr on all major social platforms, and subscribe to my full timeout, 30-second timeout, and overtime monthly emails. I look forward to helping you raise your game.